You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, YKHC's tobacco prevention and cessation.
Good morning, listeners. Thank you for tuning in with YKHC Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Wellness Wednesday radio show. My name is Melanie Plucky Roland. First off, I would like to greet you all with a happy new year and blessings of good health in 2019. Today, I would like to inform you all this is a live 30-minute show about National Glaucoma Awareness Month. If you have questions or comments regarding the topic, please call 907-543-5985 or 543-2756 or toll-free number 1-800-995-8954. If you're unable to call, email your questions or comments to radio@kyuk.org. We would love to hear from you. Today, I invited my guest speaker, Connor Cabas, for the month of January because our topic relates to his profession. Can you introduce yourself to us?
Hi, everybody. I'm Connor Cabas. I'm from the lower 48, about 3 hours south of Chicago. I'm currently a fourth-year optometry student, and I'm going to school at Indiana University. I've been in Bethel for the last 2 months. And so it's been really great being here. Unfortunately, I have to leave at the end of January, but, you know, it's been great so far. I met a lot of great people here. So
that's great. Welcome to Bethel. Thank you for your service. Yeah. What made you choose the optometry profession?
So my dad was actually an ER physician for a long time. And so, you know, growing up, I knew that I didn't want to be doing kind of his profession. He had a little bit longer work hours and everything like that, but you know, I knew that I liked everything, you know, helping people and kind of being a healthcare provider, just not specifically that profession. And so you know, kind of learning from him and everything like that, I explored a few other options, and optometry was really one that we landed on. There's a local doctor in town who let me shadow him quite a bit, and you know, kind of solidified back even in high school that this was really what I like to do. So
that's great. Yeah. Thank you so much. So getting back into the topic, so the topic this month is National Glaucoma Awareness Month, and I'm going to start off of asking you a few questions about glaucoma. Let's start from the beginning. What is glaucoma?
So glaucoma is a progressive disease that affects the nerves that are in the back of your eye. So these nerves get damaged, and it causes vision loss, normally side vision loss first. But these nerves in the back of the eye, they get damaged, and they can't send signals back to the brain anymore. And, you know, that's when you kind of lose a little bit, you know, those images that you should be seeing. And so that's, you know, generally we kind of look at eye pressure as one of the first things we kind of look at for that. But yeah, you know, kind of a, just a really a progressive disease, really kind of affecting the nerves is, you know, in the most basic terms.
Yeah. So what are the symptoms of glaucoma? You said the side vision loss first.
Yes. And so typically what the patients will notice, and actually what they usually don't notice is side vision loss, because you know, your everything in your central vision is really easy. You notice something if it's in your central vision that's, you know, that's occurring. So like if you have a spot on your glasses, you know that it's there because it's right in your central vision, right? With your side vision, you typically don't notice it quite as much, and so you know, people don't really notice these changes happening until they get very severe. And that's why, you know, your yearly eye exams are really important, especially in, you know, people over 40 or people with a family history of glaucoma.
Okay. How is glaucoma diagnosed?
So glaucoma is diagnosed through a lot of different methods. So typically, you know, we will look, we'll evaluate the patient, and do a full exam. And if we think that their side vision is being affected, you know, there's a few different tests that we run for side vision. the central, you know, we test central vision, and we do what can is this scan of the back of the eye called an OCT. Mm-hmm. And then so that can help us determine if the nerves in the back of your eye, whenever they become damaged, they become thin because they're mm-hmm. kind of dying a little bit. And so when that gets thinner, it kind of helps us determine, you know, are you having damage and that's why it's getting thin, or are your nerves just naturally thin that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually our visual field test is where we are most likely going to is more sensitive than the OCT.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do what's called a Humphrey visual field, which is it's a big machine, and you kind of click buttons and it tests all your side vision while you just look straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our most sensitive ways to do it. We also check eye pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, high pressures are, you know, a sign of, you know, that you could have glaucoma changes.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we like our pressures to be around 10 to 21, which is millimeters of mercury, which is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's, you know, generally those are the main factors that we look at.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to remind everybody, this is a live show. And so if you have questions or comments, you may call KYUK at 543-5985 or 543-2756. Or if you have questions or comments, you could email your questions or comments to radio@kyuk.org. Okay, getting back into the asking questions. How long, or how does the optic nerve get damaged by open-angle glaucoma?
So we believe that the damage being caused to the nerve is due to an increase in your eye pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the main thing that causes that, you know, change in pressure is you have your body producing this fluid inside your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also an angle where that fluid exits. Whenever your body either increases the amount of fluid that it's producing or decreases the amount of fluid mm-hmm. that's exiting, that's how you get that higher pressure, and that pressure causes damage to those nerves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you have that pressure, it starts on those nerves right on the retina, and it mm-hmm. can cause damage all the way back. So whenever you have damage on one side of the nerve, it can damage those nerves farther back than...
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's usually what's causing the damage.
Okay. Can I develop glaucoma if I have an increased eye pressure?
So you can develop glaucoma if you have an increased pressure, but that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have an increased pressure without glaucoma, but it also works the other way around. You can have glaucoma with lower pressures as well.
Interesting.
So you can have a lot of factors can affect you to have higher pressures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, there's a disease called pigment dispersion syndrome.
Could you repeat that again?
Pigment dispersion syndrome.
Okay.
And the way that this works is some of the pigment from your iris mm-hmm. gets stuck in the, well, and, you know, it decreases the outflow of the eye.
Yeah.
And so over time... this can just kind of increase the pressure in the eye and, mm-hmm. You know, so for a while you may have an increased pressure without glaucoma, but once there's damage, mm-hmm. that's when we would say that there's glaucoma.
Okay.
And you can also just have, you know, normal high pressures
mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could just be the way that your pressures are. You know, we'd probably want to keep a little bit closer eye on you, especially if you have... some different factors that we think may be
mm-hmm.
Leading us to think you might have glaucoma, but...
Okay. So, what about, can I develop glaucoma without an increase in my eye pressure?
Yes, you can. We call that normotensive glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when your pressures are within the normal limits, but you're still having damage to your nerves.
Mm.
So... And what happens is our method of treating that is the same as open-angle glaucoma. And That means that we're just going to try and lower your pressure a little bit more to take some, you know, pressure off of those nerves so that way they're a little bit more healthy.
Okay. So, you mentioned earlier, but how is glaucoma detected? Like, what equipment do you guys use?
So we use an OCT, and there's a lot of different things that we look at, but typically we'll do an OCT to check how thick your nerves are.
Mm-hmm.
With damage, those nerves become thinner, and we can, with our special scanner, we can scan the back of the eye and check all the layers of the eye. You know, and we can, the more thinning you have with that, the more damage we think there is. And so that might be a good first test that we would do. And then we might move on to a visual field.
Okay. So.
And I can tell you more about the visual field and some other testing if you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So the visual field and pressure checks are probably, the visual field is probably the most important. It's our most sensitive test that we have. So what we do is you look straight ahead and they test all these points on your vision. Mm-hmm. And with the more glaucoma damage you have, the less of those points you'll actually be able to see. And so that's what we use to kind of make sure or to check to see if there's progression in your glaucoma. And so the other thing that we look at, you know, I'm sure everybody has had this where you have the blue light test or the air puff, and that's checking your eye pressures, which is very important for the detection of glaucoma as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the higher your pressures are, you know, there's might be a little higher association with glaucoma as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to remind everybody again about if you have questions or comments, you may call KYUK at 543-5985 or 543-2756 or toll-free number 1-800-995-8954. Or if you're unable to call, email your questions or comments to radio@kyuk.org. So, getting back into it, who is higher risk for glaucoma?
So people with a family history of glaucoma have a higher risk. Elderly people, so if you're above 40, that's usually when, you know, we kind of start looking a little bit more for it. It starts to become a little bit more common. Your race can be affected. So African-American, Hispanics, and Asians are at a little higher risk. And then smokers are high, like have a higher rate, along with people with hypertension and diabetes as well.
Wow. So how does it all like? How does it change? How does eye pressure changes in for your glaucoma? Like,
so your pressure actually changes a lot throughout the day, and so over time, as you get older, your pressure kind of generally trends upward.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to keep it down a little bit lower to kind of help manage it. And so, you know, people lose that equilibrium of inflow versus outflow. And so luckily we have some medications that we can prescribe for that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Can glaucoma be cured once you are diagnosed with glaucoma?
Unfortunately, it can't be cured, but we can delay its progression. So what we do for that, you know, is we want to treat the patient for as long as we can and slow the progression as much as we can to the point where they don't notice that they're having any issues. So that's kind of our goal.
So what are some other forms of glaucoma and how are they treated?
So we already mentioned primary open angle glaucoma, which is, you know, we have lots of drops for that. So there are drops that decrease the amount of fluid that's produced in the eye. And then there are also drugs that increase the outflow in the eye. And so there are other types of glaucoma, like the pigment dispersion syndrome, that can cause, you know, glaucoma as well. That one's treated very similar to the primary open angle.
Okay.
There's also narrow angle glaucoma, which is which can be caused by not having your cataracts removed, or if you have trauma, you know, if you have naturally narrow angles, if you have a, you know, what's like a farsighted prescription,
mm-hmm.
Those things can cause narrower angles than what we'd see in some other people. And so those are kind of risk factors that you have for that. You know, and what we can do for the narrow angle glaucoma, if it's caused by cataracts, is actually have cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. And this is beneficial in two ways, is it helps clear up your vision because you don't have cataracts blurring your vision. And then also it opens your angles quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the outflow of the fluid in your eye can get out a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. So does cataracts form first before having glaucoma, or how does that work?
It's not one step, one before another.
Oh, okay.
So they're separate. So what can happen is you may not have glaucoma, but you may have really, really large cataracts.
Mm-hmm.
And those cataracts can cause narrow angle glaucoma, which is, you know, it's you basically, and I guess I keep saying angle like everybody would know mm-hmm. what that is, but it's basically the area where the fluid exits your eye is an area called the angle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the narrower that gets, it cuts it off almost like you're kinking a hose.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever your cataracts can kind of narrow that angle almost like it's kinking a hose a little bit, when you take out that cataracts, it mm-hmm. unkinks the hose and lets it flow a little bit easier.
Thank you. How does smoking tobacco affect glaucoma?
So smoking tobacco can actually raise your eye pressures as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are some studies that show that people that smoke throughout their lives have a higher risk of glaucoma uh-huh. Just overall. You know, smoking can affect all parts of your body, especially uh-huh. the eye, you know, and just kind of reducing or stop, like smoking mm-hmm. stopping is obviously the best course of action.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you are trying to just cut back, anything that you can do to reduce the amount of like cigarettes that you're smoking per day.
Mm-hmm. So I assume that the main effect on glaucoma of a healthful lifestyle is better circulation in the vascular system in the eye. Has there been testing to verify the effect?
So I don't know any specific studies. I believe there are studies that have been done. I just don't know the names of mm-hmm. them that show that, you know, exercise will help with glaucoma to help keep your pressure down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that same study, it's showing that, you know, you have increased oxygen to those areas. And so when you have increased oxygen to your tissues, you know, your blood flow is a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting more oxygen. Those tissues can stay healthier longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we see, you know, people with diabetes or hypertension mm-hmm. and smokers, they all have a little bit of a higher risk for glaucoma
mm-hmm.
Because all the three of those conditions can kind of reduce the amount of blood flow and oxygen that different tissues in your body are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keeping up a healthy lifestyle of exercising just increases that blood flow, keeps yeah. everything a little bit healthier.
And makes you live a little longer.
Exactly.
So, again, I would like to inform you all, this is a live show about National Glaucoma Awareness Month. And I have Connor Cabas here, and he is my guest speaker. And I would like to inform you all about the number. You may call KYK at 543-5985 or 543-2756 or toll-free number at 1-800-995-8954. Or if you have questions or comments, you may email your questions to radio@kyuk.org. Thank you. Sorry about that. Excuse me. So what other factors can cause glaucoma?
So glaucoma can be caused, you know, like we were talking about with diabetes, mm-hmm. hypertension, smoking, age, and there's another one that is a little more recent is the thickness of your cornea. And so mm-hmm. The theory for that is that you have thicker corneas on the front. Your eye is more rigid and can withstand that higher pressure a little bit better
mm-hmm.
than if you have thinner corneas. It's a little bit more malleable and is a little bit more affected by your eye pressures. You know, there are, you know, as far as your diet, there are, as long as you're eating more vegetables and leafy greens, mm-hmm. And omega-3,
mm-hmm.
Eating a lot of, you know, I know salmon is popular here. That's a very good food for everybody to eat. It has high omega-3, mm-hmm. which can help with eye pressures as well.
So does diet affect glaucoma?
Yes. So I would say that diet, you know, along with exercise, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that it would cure your glaucoma or anything like that or get rid of it, but it would help.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that exercising would help and, you know, stopping smoking would help, it's just an added benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another thing working for you. So sticking to kind of leafy greens, foods and high in omega-3 fatty acids is good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of vegetables. Those are all really good foods to kind of keep in your diet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I heard smoking is a risk factor for cataracts. Is that true?
That is correct. So people that smoke cigarettes, they have a higher rate of or their cataracts form sooner than other, you know, other people that don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds a risk for, you know, the narrow angle glaucoma that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, your vision is a little bit cloudier with the thicker your contacts get.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely sure of the exact mechanism of action of it. I just know that is true.
Okay. That's good to know. So when I think about glaucoma, sometimes I think about marijuana. And how does marijuana lower your eye pressure with glaucoma?
Marijuana will, in fact, lower your eye pressure, but only for a very short period of time. So to say that we would use marijuana as a glaucoma treatment would, you know, not be true, mm-hmm. but there has been studies that have shown that it does in fact lower your eye pressure, but only for a very short period of time, mm-hmm. within hours. The drops that we use, that we give you guys, those are designed to last much longer and to have a longer effect,
mm-hmm.
than, you know, just the hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess it does decrease your pressures, but it would not be used for any treatments. Yes.
Okay. So, what kind of treatments are there for glaucoma?
So for glaucoma, there are a wide variety of treatments. So, our first line is usually eye drops.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with, prostaglandins normally, which help out with outflow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can move on to beta blocker drops, which help decrease production. And those two kind of work together to kind of help reduce eye pressures.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other drops that we can use that, and there are several different drops within each category of drops that we can use if one stops working. Or
mm-hmm.
You can also get laser surgery.
Wow.
So this surgery works by... they put a lens on your eye, they take a laser, and they zap, I guess you could say, the little areas, mm-hmm. In that angle where the outflow is. And that helps with outflow in that area. You know, we talked about cataract surgery. That's mm-hmm. another thing that could help with glaucoma. And, you know, if we have a case where it's, you know, we're trying everything we can and we still mm-hmm. can't get the pressure low enough, we can do... even more kind of in-depth surgeries to help get that pressure lowered even more.
Oh, okay. So when I'm making an appointment with my optometrist, and if I have, I have glaucoma, what questions should I ask my eye care professional?
So it's really important that, you know, your eye care professional is there to help you with understanding it, you know, any concerns mm-hmm. that you have. So, you know, we don't mind re-explaining things. We mm-hmm. don't mind, you know, going through things and talking about it differently if, because it is hard to explain
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's hard to understand as well. And so, Anything you don't understand. I also think a very important thing is like follow-up schedules, because we can detect changes over time. So if we determine you have glaucoma, we'd like to see you anywhere from every 3 to 6 months to make sure that your eye pressure is not changing, that your drops are still working well, that you know, the back of your eye is not changing and stuff like that. And you know, I feel like that's a really important one, is to kind of say, what's my follow-up schedule? Because you don't want to miss your appointments for a while and then unnecessary damage, you know, kind of occurred to your eyes, especially if it could have been prevented. So
So living with glaucoma, do you have tips for people, like tips to about living with glaucoma?
And so I think if you're living with glaucoma, I think, you know, the best tip would be to make sure you keep taking those drops as you're supposed to. You know, and if you have questions or concerns, you know, we're only a phone call away.
That's great.
You know, we, you know, even if the doctor is not immediately available to talk to you on the phone right then and there, the front desk can take a message and we'll give you a call back. And so I think, you know, I guess my best tip would be is to just kind of follow the treatment and try and do it as closely as you can. I know people forget sometimes, but the better you help us manage your glaucoma and get those drops in, the better prognosis you have.
That's great. So what can you do to prevent vision loss living with glaucoma?
So I think, I know I was talking about the follow-up schedule earlier. I think that is probably the, one of the most important things is, you know, realizing, hey, you know, I should come in every 6 months or every 3 months or 4 months, you know, whatever, depending on how severe the glaucoma is. But I think that follow-up schedule is really, really important. Yeah,
that's great. So it looks like our time is coming to an end. I think I would like to thank you, and I appreciate you coming out and being my guest speaker. But looks like it's time to. It's almost 10:30, so I'm going to greet my listeners, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Connor. If you have questions, you may email your questions to KYUK. At radio at kyuk.org. If you want to quit or want to seek help, the Tobacco Prevention and Cessation is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you want to enroll into the program, talk to your provider, walk into the tobacco program at the hospital, or call our program at 907-543-6312 or alternative toll-free number at 1-800-478-3321 extension 6312. If you're not interested in enrolling into our program with YKHC, the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line is also available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Goyana, everybody, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.